Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties on the North Olympic Peninsula. I'm your host, Sheila Ramsey of Senior Corps, retired and senior volunteer program of OLECAP. Inspired by the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. Our show highlights those organizations and individuals who provide a prodigious amount of time and energy to build what King called a beloved community. Today we're talking with a longtime local activist, DeForest Walker, presently the chair of COAST, the Community Outreach Association shelter team, the folks who run the winter shelter at the VFW building on Monroe Street, downtown Port Townsend. I've been wanting to have you on the show for a long time, DeForest. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Sheila, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I know it's a busy time for you, and something special is going on downtown at the shelter this year. What's happening this year?
Well, what's happening this year, Sheila, is that we're extending our period of operation for the seasonal shelter. And in the past, we've traditionally opened on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. However, what we've noticed over the past few years as well is that the November weather can be very unpredictable and very unreliable. And there was one winter when we had to set up an emergency shelter in the Port Townsend Police Conference Room. They were very nice to give it to us. This year, what we're going to do is open on November 1st with limited services, meaning we will not be open for the same number of hours that we are during our regular season, and we will not be able to offer our full meal service. However, for those first 3 weeks of November, people can come in and check in at 6 p.m., and they have between 6 and 7 p.m. to check in. We will have substantial snacks. People can take a shower. They can watch TV, relax, and be safe and warm inside. We'll start our regular season with all of our full services on Sunday, November 22nd. Also this year, we'll be open until April 1st rather than mid-March.
And will there be a change in service at the end of that time period, or is it going to go full throttle to the end?
Good question. Actually, the last couple of weeks that we'll be open, in the last half of March, last 2.5 weeks, I believe, we will go back to our preseason limited service hours.
And let's talk a little bit about why that is, because I think it's important for people who don't understand how much work goes into opening those doors and keeping those doors open, why it can't be done the whole time.
That's right, Sheila. It's an incredible amount of people power and financial resource that allows us to have the winter shelter open, even for our usual 3.5 months during the winter season. So we're talking about a hot dinner every night, a bag lunch to go for anybody who wants it, and breakfast every single day that we're open during our full service season. And when you look at the staffing costs, the volunteer people power, the expense of buying and preparing the foods for the meals, it really adds up to quite a bit of money. Shelter is very, very expensive. And that is why there is not a great deal of public funding available anymore for emergency shelter. The push is for permanent housing, which is far cheaper than emergency shelter.
And who makes those meals?
The volunteers make those meals. So what we do is, COAST was started largely as a faith-based organization and remains so to a major extent. And every week that the shelter is open, there's a different hospitality group that takes over the operation of the meals and also providing volunteer monitoring to enhance the paid staffing. So those host groups are just critically important in terms of our ability to provide good nutrition. And this is church lady cooking. I mean, the food is
good. Is it my imagination, or is that a pretty high level of cooperation among churches in the community? That's pretty amazing to me.
It is, and especially for emergency seasonal night shelter, Sheila, it really is incredible that approximately 500 volunteers make it possible for us to offer more than just, you know, a cot during the dark hours of the night and maybe a cup of coffee and goodbye, as a lot of emergency night shelters do, because that's all they can afford to do, and they don't have the community involvement that we've been able to garner for the winter shelter.
And who comes to our shelter?
Who comes to our shelter, Sheila, are people who are from Jefferson County or have grown up in Jefferson County and sometimes have lived somewhere else but have come back to spend time with an aging parent who themselves may be in low-income housing and so are not allowed to host their son or daughter or grandson in their own in their own housing. We've had people who have come up from California or Oregon, and when I ask, why are you here, I've gotten an answer, well, I grew up here. I graduated from Port Townsend High School. I came up to bury my mother. You know, when people think that we're attracting a lot of people from out of town, what they really need to understand is that the vast majority of out-of-towners do have a family connection here in East Jefferson
County. These are our neighbors.
They are our neighbors. They are our community members. And I don't think that most people in Port Townsend really understand the extent to which many of their community neighbors are without homes, without a roof over their
heads. Or at risk.
And beyond that, much at risk of homelessness. We have many, you know, families with children and single individuals, including senior citizens, and worst of all, in my mind, military veterans.
Oh, yes. Besides the shelter, let's talk about Coast. What does Coast do? How did it get started? Is it just about the shelter or does it do other things?
Coast was started by five women in our community who represented a few different churches in town. Those women strategized and decided that if they were to coordinate with local faith-based groups, they could manage to implement a shelter for the winter season. A few different incidents spurred them on. One, a gentleman who was a veteran passed on in the Kai Tai Park. This was several years ago, I believe in 2004, 2005, basically because he had no shelter and it was very, very cold. The other thing that spurred them on was that one of the founders of the winter shelter had a son who had been homeless and he ended up passing on. However, that happened in Hawaii, and if he had not been in a shelter in Hawaii, the family would never, ever have known what happened to him. And she saw the wisdom of that in a very, very personal way. So those five women got together and started a pilot project in the early winter of 2005 that took place in the churches, actually. So it was 2 weeks in one church and a couple weeks in another church. And they ran that pilot for about a month and served about a dozen people. What was understood was that they needed one central location, that it was difficult for people to go to a certain bus stop at a certain time to be picked up to go to this particular church and that sort of thing. And so so in 2006, they were able to secure the lower level of the American Legion Hall here in Port Townsend as a space to operate the shelter. That winter was my first season there in 2006.
What's your vision for the for the shelter itself? What's your vision for the long term?
Well, for the long term, Sheila, what I would like to see is for there to be no reason for us to have an emergency night shelter during the winter here in East Jefferson County. What I would like to see would be really more of a push to create and move people into permanent affordable housing. And when I say affordable housing, I mean housing that is affordable to all members of our community, no matter what their income may be. Folks are considered rent burdened if they're paying more than 30% of their income for rent, whatever that income may be.
And most people are rent burdened.
Well, they sure are, especially in our area. So, you know, we're going to have to come together as a community. It's going to take political will on the part of local governments. It's going to take a real insistence from our citizenry to say we will not have our neighbors and our community members in this homeless condition, when we know that as a community we will save tons of money by putting people into permanent housing.
Right.
Because what homelessness does for communities across the country, Sheila, is that it raises the expense of those big ticket items for communities. And by that, I'm talking about law enforcement costs, jail costs when people are jailed for trespassing.
Hospital costs, I'm sure.
The hospital and ER costs are huge, big-ticket items that we all end up paying for. What we have found is that in communities where people have adopted a housing first approach, which is to take homeless people and put them directly into housing, load up the front end with services, and link them up to medical care, link them up to their own doctor. What we find is that when people have better, they do better.
Surprise.
Isn't it? Yeah. So that, you know, even people who may be struggling with mental health, may be struggling with alcohol or drug use issues, find after a while when the panic is off, when the emergency sense of their lives is over and they have a roof over their heads, they have a room to go to, there is a door with a lock and it's theirs. They can prepare
something
to eat.
Everything changes.
Everything does change. And then you see a person moving into a real harm reduction model where they're just not drinking as much, not using as much, going to see their mental health counselor on a regular basis and just doing a lot better and costing the community a lot less money.
Not many nonprofits' goal is to eliminate the need for their services. That's great. And while we wait for that to happen, or while we intend for that to happen, there's COAST and there's the winter shelter. What do you need from us?
One of the biggest things that we need every year are blankets. And we need the kind of blankets that can be washed in a home washing machine. When people come into our shelter, they're sleeping in bunks with sheets and blankets and pillows. They're not on a mat on the floor. And so we do have laundry facilities there to wash all our bedding, but we need blankets. We don't need sheets this year, but we always need blankets. We always need warm jackets, coats, and sweatshirts of all sizes and
socks.
In good condition. We always
socks.
Need socks. And we do serve single men and women, so it's important to know that we also need items for the women that we serve.
How do we get in touch with you? How do we connect up? And I'm assuming you need funds? You always take money?
I'm
cash?
So glad you asked, Sheila. We do. And in order to especially cover the utility costs, which have just skyrocketed, we do need financial contributions. And anything helps. You know, people say, well, I really can't afford it. All I'd be able to do would be send $5.
Send $5.
We can use that $5. So, you know, we're all about small gifts as well as medium and large ones. It is important that we keep a stocked pantry and that we're able to pay our propane and our heat and our electricity and our water bills. These are expensive.
Now, I know you're starting early this year, but in general this year, what kind of volunteer help would you need? What are we looking for?
You know, I think really for this year and for over the intermediate term, we really want to outreach to younger volunteers. The people who initially started COAST were older when they started, and it's we're going into our 11th season. So
we're aging out.
All older now. And, you know, the way that we break our shifts down, we always have paid staff on board, but we like to enhance that paid staffing with volunteers. And what we find is that overnight shift is particularly difficult for older folks and some retired folks, whereas the young people that we've had seem to enjoy it. You know, they stay up all night and work on their stuff on their tablets and their laptops, and they're just able to stay awake and stay alert. And the young people that we have had down there really have enjoyed their time at the shelter and do come back.
So how can a person with money or time get in touch with you?
Okay. If anybody has time and is interested in volunteering, they should call Karen at 360-796-0420. For any other questions, and even if you didn't catch that number, they can call the COAST general phone number, which is 531-0112. We have a post office mailing box if somebody has a
good
pen handy right now to write down that address and the same time they sign their check. And that is, it's COAST, and it's P.O. Box 194 in Port Hadlock. The zip code is 98339.
Now, DeForest, you are a legend in this community, a force to behold.
Oh, my goodness.
And I have heard stories about the fact that you will go anywhere to help anyone in need with whatever need they have. You are living a life of service. What gives you the inspiration for that? And what does it mean, you know, for everyone to live a life of service? What is that?
I suppose it can be a really personal choice for people. So I can't speak for anyone but myself. I can tell you that as a young person, this was not what I intended. I was an English major. I did not set out to do this in any way, shape, or form. I found myself over 30 years ago in a job working as a children's program coordinator in a shelter for homeless women and children. And I just became compelled. I'm very much somebody who's sort of worked her way up the rungs of the nonprofit ladder in terms of social services. But I have worked for various agencies serving homeless populations and broad-based homeless populations, so families, domestic violence victims, veterans, ex-offenders, folks with mental health issues, and so on and so forth. I've done that work in three states, in San Francisco, in Portland, Oregon, and now here. And it's interesting because when I came to Washington, to Port Townsend, to be closer to family, but not too close, but so that's why I'm in Port Townsend, I thought that part of my career was over, to be honest with you. And it was not the first thing I sought out to do. But what came clear at some point was that I guess it was what I was supposed to do, and I knew how. And it has seemed like there was a need in the community. When I retired from OLECAP in 2011, I had already been working with Coast and with the Winter Shelter in that capacity. And it was just a very easy move to kind of transfer over and be part of Coast. So in January, I will have been just strictly volunteering for 5 years. I pretty much will go anywhere and do anything. I believe that, you know, as much as we'd like to think that we can wave a wand or there's a magic bullet and we can come up with one or two strategies that will solve everybody's problem of homelessness, really what I've found is that it's equally, if not more, effective to just take a one-by-one approach and let's go solve this problem right now. Let's go talk to this person right now. So if I get a call from law enforcement or from somebody who's a church or there's somebody camping out here, I don't know if they're okay, there's somebody sleeping in our vestibule, we don't know who it is. Sometimes I'm the person that goes out there just to basically do wellness checks and see if I can give them some information that might help move them along to a more permanent solution. Sometimes I can voucher somebody into a motel for the night in an emergency. Sometimes it's just a traveling person who got Port Angeles and Port Townsend mixed up and there's no bus service. I mean, it really depends. It really depends. And I would just like to say, we call it a winter shelter and not a homeless shelter. And the reason for that is that anyone in our community who is in need of a place to stay where it's warm and safe is more than welcome to come. And it seems like every winter we have at least one or two folks who come in because they're not homeless. However, the weather has been particularly bad and their pipes have frozen. Their power is out. They can't cook. They can't get warm. They can't see. nothing's going on in their house and it's not going to be for a few days. So they will come down to the shelter and most of them are really pleasantly surprised. Like they come in and it's like, oh, I don't really want to be here, but we don't have anywhere to go. And we operate with an approach of hospitality, Sheila, and I think that makes
it's a very nice shelter. I've been down there. It's nice, very, very nice, very comfortable.
We try to make it comfortable. I mean, a shelter is a shelter, but I think working with a hospitality approach, which recognizes the common humanity in each of us and doesn't set any of us above anybody else, you know, gives it more of a community feel and makes people feel more welcome. You know, remembering their name, taking a moment to really listen to their story without seeming too busy to do so. That kind of approach towards people goes a long way in terms of them feeling more comfortable. And when they feel more comfortable, a lot of times they're able to relax, tell more of their story, and be open to suggestions for where they might go for some assistance to improve their own situation.
Thank you so much for coming in today. And thank you for your life of service.
Well, thank you very much, Sheila. It's been a pleasure to be here. I'm very supportive of the radio station here and very supportive of the work you're doing as well.
And let's give that phone number one more time, just in case someone missed it.
Yes. If you want to reach us, you can just call our main number at Coast. It's a local number. It is 531-0112.
Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9 Port Townsend, Washington. I'm your host, Sheila Ramsey, and our production coordinator and editor for this edition is Mike Schletzer. And I'd like to thank all the volunteers who work many hours to bring you unique and eclectic programming in Port Townsend and on the web.